Grace to and peace from the one who creates and redeems and sanctifies all things. Amen. As I said earlier, Trinity Sunday is the only Sunday of the year really devoted to a doctrine, but oh, what a doctrine it is. Even Brother Saint Augustine, after all of the work that he had done, finally had to kind of admit that he didn't understand it. And Martin Luther, in a very long sermon — you think my sermons are long, you should read one of Luther's — after a very, very long sermon about the Trinity, concluded that in the end it was a matter of faith. We have been thinking about God in lots of theological ways and using the Trinity for a very, very long time. One God, three persons. But we're beginning, I think, over the ages to have a more creative way to think about God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has been, well, frankly, quite patristic. And so we're beginning to see over the last few decades a shift, a kind of more true way to think about God biblically, as mother, as carer, as nurturer, and as challenger. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is just one of the ways we talk about God. Maker, Redeemer, Sustainer, Mother, Redeemer, Advocate. While all are helpful, all are also inadequate. But in some way, each one of those ways of talking about God is attempting to get at the greater reality of God with us. In and around and through us each and every day. Tries to get us to understand in a clearer and live in a clearer way how God enters into relationship with us and with creation in a variety of ways, in the fullness of time and in the unfolding of creation and life itself. One of those relationships comes in a special way, according to our lessons today, both from Paul and from John, through the Holy Spirit. And I want to focus there today. The Holy Spirit is one of the probably least familiar among Lutherans. Now, I have to test you. You ever heard the phrase, frozen chosen? Fritz, have we not taught them well? I mean, every place else I've ever been, they know that's one. Episcopalians claim it, but they're totally wrong. It's the Lutherans are the frozen chosen. Why? We're mostly up north where it is cold and awful, and we're like meat in a locker. We are frozen in our ways, and we will not change, and for sure we're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit too much because it makes us really nervous. I can tell you how true that was, because at the Synod Assembly, at our closing worship — what, Karen's laughing because she was there, and she was the ones laughing. But anyway, the congregation who was leading worship that day, a little different than what most of us are used to. And at one point, there was a young woman singing her heart out and her hand up in the air and tears rolling from her eyes, and all the Lutherans were like, "Oh my Lord, where have you dropped us off?" I mean, I was there with them. But the Holy Spirit was present. This Holy Spirit that has so many names in the Old Testament, right at the very beginning in Genesis, the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind of God is right there in creation moving over the waters. It is that Ruach, God's breath, that holy wind that fills Adam's earthy lungs and brings life. The Ruach is that divine wind that topples the enemies of Israel. And then later on, it is this, in the Greek word, pneuma. It's the dove-shaped breath of God that hangs over Jesus' baptism. It's the gift, the Baptist says, that is received in the pouring of water and the proclaiming of word at our baptisms. And again, even later in the Gospels, where Jesus is about to die and he says, "It is finished," and there is a great wind. Curtains are torn and the earth trembles and the Spirit moves over the waters. And then in the book of Acts, we heard about it last week. That rushing, mighty, it says, a violent wind swept through where the disciples were, and the church was born. And God blessed the apostles and the disciples and the believers with God's pneuma. Now, the cool thing about the Holy Spirit that we know seems to be true is that no matter how hard we try to box the Spirit in, it refuses to be boxed. The Holy Spirit is creative and moves us. It fills us with breath and life, and sometimes even hope. Too often when we think about spirituality and spirit, we kind of get caught into this idea, which is so popular these days, of being spiritual but not religious. There's nothing particularly wrong with that, I suppose, except, frankly, I don't want to be spiritual without religious because I'm just too afraid. Do you want to hang out in a room by yourself with the divine wind of God, toppling mountains, making creation? Is that the personal relationship that you want? I think too often when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of that lovely, nice, calm, relaxing thing that we apprehend when we go to a spiritual retreat in the forest, where it's quiet and gentle. That's true. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. But in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is not just that. The Holy Spirit drives us where we may not want to go, or even where we don't know that we can go. Our assembly this week, Murray Fink told a story, our bishop, about a congregation near Riverside that on the day before the day of Pentecost, he got a phone call from one of the members of the congregation who said to him, "Bishop, we're going to worship on Sunday and then we're going to close. We will be closed by the end of the week." And Bishop, he was assistant to the Bishop Murray, said, "Well, I'm not actually on duty tomorrow, so I will be at your church for worship with you." And they began to talk together about what God might be up to in that part of the city. And they began to form new relationships with each other and with God that they had no inkling could possibly. That was 18 years ago. On Saturday, that congregation, now renewed and renamed, were the ones who were up there playing guitar and drums and flute, and had a young woman, blonde, long hair, typical Christian singer, singing the praises of God. Where they had seen death, the Holy Spirit had seen life, and life abundant, and had led them into new relationships with each other and with God that brought them to where they are today. The rushing wind of God blowing through and helping them to see anew God's work in them. As Dr. Stephanie Lape mentioned in her talk on Thursday, I guess it was, she said the thing about the Holy Spirit and the thing about wind is that it doesn't just push, it also pulls. I was really proud of her to know about wind. She's not even a sailor. But if you kind of know about wind, you understand wind is not just getting pushed from behind, right? There's a high pressure system, but where's the wind going? To the low pressure. Wind is pulled, and in the same way, so are we. God is not just pushing us along, but God is pulling us already into the destiny and into the relationships to which we are already called. We can't know what it's going to look like or how it will end, but we can be assured of God's presence in the midst of it. So I wonder sometimes how the Spirit is at work these days among us. The thing about the Spirit is that we do want to kind of box it up. We do want to kind of be the frozen chosen. We want to be sure and have a definite end to things. We want things to look and feel and act in ways that are comfortable to us. And yet if we read Scripture, we know this simply hardly ever happens. Reuben Duran, who I've been thinking we need to bring Reuben Duran to Hawaii. And you know, the nice thing about being in Hawaii is you can get people to actually show up here. Reuben is from Peru, and he can at times be a little bit hard to understand, but I've known Reuben for many, many years, not well, but I've known of him. And when I saw him get up there and talk about what God is up to in the church, it was astonishing. Talk about it, man, on fire with the Spirit. He's the only one in the ELCA office, but I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. His soul has not been sucked out of him and dropped into a typewriter somewhere. Reuben actually believes that the Holy Spirit is alive and working in God's world, but not in here. He and others have said, and I think it's so true, and we forget it, that we do not have like this big well of the Holy Spirit right here in the middle of our floor, and then on the way out, you take a little cup of it and into the well, and you go trotting outside and find somebody, splash it on Ron. Whew, I've done my part. God is already at work in the world. Out there, God is already doing what it is that God is going to do with or without us. God is at work feeding hungry people, bringing peace where there is war, struggling against evil. God is present in so many real and clear ways. The question is, will we go with the Spirit? Will we be pulled into the Spirit's vortex of God's work, finding new relationships and new love, genuinely treating each other as persons and not commodities? Seeing each other as God's created and beloved beings, surrounded by God's created and loved creation. The question isn't what do we have that we can give away to meet the needs of the world, but what needs is God already meeting and calling us to be a part of? Sometimes we create for ourselves a little box. And we say, this must be where God is. And God must look like this. And sometimes we put our pews in the place. I mean, no offense to all of you who sit in the same place every week. Because honestly, it does throw me off when you move. Because I think, oh, the Murashigas aren't in church today. Oh, no, they've just moved. But we're not bound by pews and buildings. We're not bound by doctrine or words. We are called into the rush of the mightiness of the Holy Spirit out into the world to do what God is already doing in the world. Adopted, as Paul says, in full measure to be in relationship with God and one another. Just as Nicodemus is invited into relationship with God, so we are invited into that same relationship. Born of the Spirit, poured with water, fed with heavenly food and apparently a marked up altar. None of which is our doing. It is a gift of God, whose ruach, whose pneuma, whose mighty breath gives us life. If people want to call that religion, that's fine. But honestly, if I have to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, I would rather join together with you and all of God's children I would rather join with you by the hands and ponder and probe and work and weep and laugh. I would rather be with you and eat bread and drink wine and pour water and say and listen to word, share wealth and service, feed the poor and house the homeless, and be given away together with you in the Spirit than anything else. A personal God is a wonderful thing, but the Holy Spirit is so much more. And our challenge is to find out what is it that God is already doing in the world, and how are we being pulled into it by God? Amen.